punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Beautiful day outside. We got all kinds of variations in our temperatures. I think up north, they got some showers. I don't know. Let me check my little handy-dandy radar scope here and see how much rain they got up there. Let's see here. Looks like between Arnett and Visalia and Camargo, they got, what, 3/10 maybe? A little more shower? Some possible, looks like, on my radar scope anyway. Got a good shower anyway. Currently, it is 58 degrees in Boise City, 67 at Slapout, 70 at Woodward. Hot spot in the state right now is Hobart, Oklahoma, at 81 degrees. Hollis, you're at 78, Alta 79, Butler 79, Putnam, home of B&L, Red Angus, if you're looking on Facebook. I got their cup that Lori brought me. Anyway, 74, man, what a change in the weather forecast from yesterday. Oh, anyway, I hadn't looked at the weather last night, and I was talking to my friend in Roger Mills County that gathers chicken eggs for his wife every morning instead of going feeding cows. Did I say that out loud? Yeah, I did. Anyway, he said that Tornado Payne last night said that we're going to get an inch of rain out here in western Oklahoma this weekend starting Friday. So lo and behold, I text Lacey Swope to see if there was any truth to this. And what she told me a couple hours ago is that there's a good chance of rain for most of western Oklahoma this weekend, or Friday, and then it'll be spotted Saturday and Sunday. So anybody could get it Saturday or Sunday. But she would not tell me how much we was going to get. She's not into that. Anyway, she said we're going to get rain. That's all she knows. But she did say starting next week that most of all of Oklahoma is going to be getting rain almost every day next week. So, you know, like I said yesterday, the weather forecast can change. And guess what? It did, which is good. It's changed for the better. So we'll get on with that. But all kinds of things happening in the world today, especially in agriculture. I know guys are out there sowing today. I'm going to get going and try to get a couple hundred acres sowed in before Friday. We'll see how that goes. I know it's antique, but you know how hard it is to find somebody that has a 4-inch AC or DC auger to put in the back of a dump trailer to auger grain into your drill. Any of my friends listening out there that I haven't contacted yet, if you have one and you would like to, I know they're antique, but if you have one, I'd sure like to borrow it, and I'll pay in money, beer, golf balls, whatever you got. But I sure need to borrow one because I got 300 acres to, or 340 acres to sow now instead of 140. So it would really, really be nice to have one of those to stick in the back of a dump trailer and not 5-gallon bucket. So if you got one, text me on the Today in Ag text line, 580-225-9697. Well, I'm going to change it up a little bit instead of having the grain reports this first segment. You know, back in the days, like this year, and what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, we had the big fire at Beaver, the Putnam fire, just the Ray fire, I mean, all those fires. You remember all the people that came from all over the United States bringing hay, cake, fencing supplies, and stuff like that? Well, we have some fellow ranchers and farmers down in Florida that need help too. And hay's hay's probably out of the question because there's just we've hardly got enough hay for ourselves. But fencing supplies and other stuff would be really helpful for these people down in Florida. They got hit hard, real hard. That was a 150 mile an hour wind. That was a Category 4 that hit them. And the cleanup efforts after the Hurricane Ian are underway in many areas of Florida, and that includes cattle ranches in certain areas of the state. And the Florida Cattlemen's Association is helping to lead efforts to help producers affected by the storm. Southeast AgNet's Randall Wiseman talked to FCA Director of Field Services, Dusty Holly, and this is what they say they are needed. So if you guys will listen to this.
Randall, it cut a pretty good swath, you know, running from southwest and northeast across the state, coming in down there in Fort Myers to Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda type area, and exiting up there, you know, north of Melbourne, and really greatly affecting everybody on both coasts as it rolled up there. So it was quite the storm. While there continues to be flooding all over, our most severe areas where there's a mixture of wind damage and flooding, and roads washed out, et cetera, is down there in southwest Florida. Certainly impacts all over the state. Certainly trees down and fences down and too much water and not enough power and all those problems that come with hurricanes across the whole state. But the major catastrophic damage is down in southwest Florida. And that's where we, as the Florida Cattlemen Association and Florida Cattlemen's Foundation, are currently kind of focusing our efforts. We've checked on our people, as many as we can check on in the cattle industry that we're aware of, and certainly seems that all of our people are okay, and so that's certainly a blessing. But, you know, some of their homes, a lot of their operations are pretty messed up. And so we've been mobilizing since the storm abated, and we've continued to work throughout the weekend, and we know we'll be working in the weeks ahead. But what we've done is we've set up kind of a Cattlemen Association headquarters for the hurricane down there at the Arcadia Stockyard in Arcadia, Florida, north of Arcadia, Florida on Highway 17. That's an area and a spot where we're gonna have items that the Florida Cattlemen's Foundation has purchased or items that are donated to give out to those in the livestock industry, fencing equipment, hay, feed, ice, things like that that are needed are going to be distributed, collected and distributed there at the Arcadia Livestock Market. We were, however, with the unprecedented amount of rain, presented with a bit of a problem this go time where Peace River's right there, and so if you're on the other side of the Peace River, you may only be 5 miles from the livestock market, but you may have to go 2 or 3 hours on the road to get there because of all the road closures due to the rising waters of Peace River and Charlie Creek and Joshua Creek around Arcadia. So we've set up on the west side of the river at the Dakin's Dairy on Betts Road in Myakka City, another location where we're going to be taking donations and sending donations out and sending chainsaw and fence teams out of. So we've kind of set up headquarters and centers on each side of the Peace River, east side and the west side, so we can hopefully service as many people as possible. Also, in addition to that, the Ocala Stockyard has raised their hand and said we want to help and be a center, a spot for folks from North Florida or Central Florida. If they want to get stuff to Ocala, to the stockyard there, and donate fence materials and things like that, they can take it to the Ocala Stockyard, and the Ocala Stockyard will get it hauled south. So that's kind of a collection point for donations from North and Florida and points elsewhere is Ocala Stockyard, and they're going to haul it and distribute it to our spot at the Arcadia Stockyard and potentially over there in Myakka City. Now, the Myakka City side is a joint site between us, the Florida Cattlemen's, and the Sarasota County Cattlemen's Association. They're helping us out on that side of the river, but we've seen a big need for fence supplies. We've seen a big need for fuel, certainly chainsaws, bar oil, you know, really anything that you would think of that you might need after a hurricane on your operations, what these folks need. But some folks aren't able to come down and help, and that's fine. Some folks aren't able to send a load of post or a load of wire, and that's fine. But anybody can help us at the Florida Cattlemen's Foundation, because We've spent a lot of money already. We will spend money as this increases on buying supplies. Some we get donated, but a lot of it we have to buy or get trucked there. And so anybody can donate to the foundation. If you go to our website, floridacattleman.org, there's a hurricane link right there. And it's got all kinds of information. Randall, it's got everything from, you know, links to road closures to the type of paperwork you'll need if you're moving animals in and, you know, out of storm areas. If you're an agriculture worker and you just need a pass to get back and forth to your job, we have that there through road closures. Really a lot of information on that site, and there's a nice click to donate button. And all that money, if you say this needs to go to the hurricane relief, it'll go into our hurricane relief fund and be spent that way. So,
all right, they need our help. So if you'll get on Florida Cattlemen's Association's website and help them out, because I remember we was on our second or third trip up there at Laverne when had the big fire up there at Laverne, what, 4, 5, 6 years ago, don't remember the year, and I was there at the fertilizer place there north of Laverne, and I remember people pulling in there with trucks. I don't know that I would drive from here to Laverne with trailers on the back, with tires that were bald, but they had square bales of hay on there and fence posts in the back of their pickup. And I went over there and asked them where they was from, and they was from Tennessee. And they came all the way from Tennessee. There was people from Arkansas, Georgia. Anyway, so that doesn't necessarily mean we need to make a road trip, but if you feel in your heart to help those Florida ranchers out down there, please get on the Florida Cattlemen's Association website, and there's a hurricane link on there, and find your heart to help them. They'd appreciate it. When I come back, we'll talk some about the grain prices. Things are all over the board, and we got rain in the forecast up north, down south, out west. So it's a great, give us a reason to smile today.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. HiPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local HiPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmandGarden.com. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Speech deprivation is like an accent. If you and your wife moved to Maine and lived there for 5 years and came back and visited everybody, you'd sound like a New Yorker, you know, someone from Boston, because the brain communicates like it hears. If you go long enough without the ability to separate M's and N's, S's and F's, T's and V's, B's and T's, you're going to get amplified garble until you relearn the differences. Phonetic regression is not a loss of intelligence. It's not a loss of ABCs. It's when the brain loses the ability to separate letters that sound alike. My name is Clint Higginbotham. I'm a certified hearing aid specialist with Caring Hearing Aid Services. Our Elk City location is inside Dr. Perkins' office at 601 West 3rd. The phone number is 821-2299. The Clinton location is about 50 feet north of Mazio's, 1906 Gary Boulevard. The phone number there is 275-2904. Try hearing better and try having more fun.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires, and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. We can insure hay on a standalone policy, which is something that maybe some others don't offer. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I'm getting strange looks from our front office help. I don't know why. They ran around the corner like something was wrong, but I got it. I'm here. Quit giving me the looks. Anyway, let's see. Current temperatures right now. Still, Hobart is the hot spot, 82 degrees. 75 at Camargo, 71 at Buffalo, 69 at Beaver, and 78 degrees in Canadian, Texas. Down in the hole by the river, you are 76 degrees. All right, let's see what's going on. You guys know today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour, all hour long on Today in Ag. All cattle are not the same, and this is the truth. Just like in people, our genetics determine our traits. Some people are tall, some short, some have blonde hair, and so on. It's the same in cattle. Cattle are not the same genetically, especially when it comes to making a good steak. Some cattle just make better steaks than others because they have the right genetics. Taylor Ranch, right here in Roger Mills County, or right up there in Roger Mills County. Quit looking at the watch, boss. I'm okay. Anyway, Taylor Ranch has been working on all their carcass genetics for over 17 years to develop animals that excel in both flavor and tenderness to give your mouth-watering best steak in your life eating experience. They develop every animal as if it was going to be served on their table. That's Taylor Ranch, selling quarters, halves, and whole beef. Third-party verified, all natural, and hormone-free, also available. Call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. If you didn't get that wrote down and you need it and you want to text in on our Today in Ag text line, 580-225-9697, and I will forward that number to you. It is some of the best beef west of the Mississippi, I promise you. Probably some of the best beef in the United States. Jimmy, I've been observing him since 2011 out there on the ranch, but really a lot in the last couple of years. But the way he's doing his genetics now, to come up with some of the best steak. I mean, majority of his cattle, if not all of them, the calves that go on feed are probably all prime just because of the way he's breeding his cattle now. And it's been a pleasure for me to watch what he's doing. Anyway, let's see what's happening on the markets today. Futures on corn for December, 685, up a little bit. March is 692. May is 693 and July is 686. Soybeans, November 1376, January 1387, and March 1395. Soybean meal, October $404.50 a short ton. December's $440. January's $397.20. Soybean oil, October $67.90 a pound. Soybean oil, $65.51 for December. January, $64.41. Hard red winter wheat, December. Oh, we hit it. Remember how I told you guys yesterday it almost got there? It did today. December is $10.01 a bushel. March is $9.96. Oats, December $4.01. March $4.03. It's been a while since they've both been up above $4. Let's see what cotton is doing. Well, it's in the green today, but it's still not what it has been all summer. December cotton is 88 cents a pound, and March is 86 cents a pound. And sugar, he's still losing money. Anyway, crude oil is back up almost to $90. And natural gas is up over 7 now. The S&P, the NASDAQ, and the Dow, they're all in the red today. Let's see what the cash grain prices are at the elevators in Oklahoma and Texas. And hard red winter wheat is $9.40 a bushel today at the elevator, $7.73 for corn, $7.08 for Milo, and $13.46 for soybeans. And the only thing in the, on the cash market in the green is wheat. And it's gone up, and everything else is on a downward trend. Well, let's see what's causing all this. Soybean and grain futures were lower in overnight trading amidst favorable weather in the United States for harvesting and winter planting. It'll be mostly dry for much of the U.S. Midwest today, giving farmers a chance to catch up on crop. Wish these guys had spell checked this. It says crop, but it's crop collection in areas where they've been behind for most of the season. About 22% of the soybeans were in the bin at the start of the week. That's up 8% from last week. Some 81% was dropping leaves versus 63% at the same point last year. And now it's ahead of average of 79%. 20% of corn was in the bin as of Sunday, up from 12% of a week earlier, but behind the normal 22%. Winter wheat planting continues. I've seen them putting it in yesterday, with 40% in the ground at the start of the week, and that's up from 31% a week earlier, but still behind the average of 44%. Some rain is expected in parts of Nebraska and South Dakota today, but otherwise most areas will stay dry, according to the National Weather Service. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 10 and 3/4 cents to 13.72 and 3/4 cents a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal dropped $1.10 to $400.40 a short ton, while soybean oil lost 0.56 pennies to $64.46 a pound. Corn futures for December delivery was down 3 3/4 cents to $6.79 a bushel. Wheat futures, on the other hand, for December delivery dropped 6 3/4 to $8.96 at Chicago, while Kansas City futures just dropped about 5.5 pennies to $9.83 a bushel. Well, freezes are expected all over the place. Freezing weather is expected in parts of North Dakota late tonight into tomorrow morning. Widespread freezing temperatures are possible late tonight, especially in the north. In much of Iowa, southwestern Minnesota, and northeastern Nebraska, and southeastern South Dakota, temperatures are expected to drop to 25 to 35 degrees. Man, and hunting season's here. It's great. But first, we got to get peanut harvest out of the way, and then this temperature can come in. How's that? That might result in the first widespread freeze of the season in this area, which is a big chunk of northern United States. Down here in the southern plains, where winter wheat planting is underway, thunderstorms may roll in across the western Texas and Oklahoma panhandles. The weather is expected to remain below severe levels. The storms will continue through Thursday through Friday night and refire up Sunday until Monday in the panhandles and into western Oklahoma. How's that sound, everybody? Are you excited? Well, you ought to be. Want to come back? We're going to talk a little bit about cattle. I got Tyrone Spearman from Georgia going to talk to us about what's happening with their peanut crop down there in Georgia. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. So anyway, hang around, hear what Tyrone's got to say. First of all, let's talk to Jerry Nine. and see what happened with the slaughter cattle and the bred cows and the bulls yesterday.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale this Thursday, October 6th. We're expecting 3,000 cattle. We'll start the auction at 8 a.m. From Sayre, got 30 calves at 6, Arnett, 40 calves, 5 to 6, Woodward, 50 calves, 4 to 6, Watonga, 44 steers, nevers, 4 to 5, Protection, got 50 steers, nevers at 6, Eric, got 32 heifers, 6.5, Thomas, got 55 steers at 7, Arnett, got 46 steers, nevers, 7 to 8, East of Dallas, got 137 steers, weight 9 to 1050, from Clinton, we got 35 steers and heifers, 7 to 8. Again, expecting 3,000 cattle, but we'll start the auction, 8 a.m. sharp. Yesterday, on Tuesday, we had over 1,500 cows, bulls, and calves, with 1,300 of them being cows. Good buys if you got any place to put them bred cows. A lot of them going to the slaughter. Remember, our commission on our calves and feeders is $5.05 cheaper than some other barns around. Give us a call. We work 100% for the seller, never lying to the buyer. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Simply put, Simon's Catch Restaurant in Elk City is Western Oklahoma's number one choice for delicious dining. Simon's Catch features all-you-can-eat farm-fresh catfish, family recipe shrimp, USDA choice steaks, and mouth-watering desserts, including cheesecake and brownie pie. Make dinner tonight simple. Simon's Catch Restaurant in Elk City. From I-40, exit 34, go 1.5 miles south and 1.5 miles west. Simon's Catch Restaurant open at 5 Wednesday through Saturday and at noon on Sunday.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. Drew Cobb here with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, October 3rd. 2,125 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 348 brought 195. 3 at 405 brought 174. 12 at 493 brought 160. 17 at 601 brought 173. 6 at 678 brought 146.50. 9 at 708 brought 140. 26 at 762 brought 173.75. 4 head of heifers at 336 brought 166. 12 at 415 brought 155. 10 at 450 brought 151. 8 at 561 brought 157. 12 at 597 brought 162. 54 at 600 brought 154. 37 at 656 brought 163. Butcher cows were 10 to 76. Butcher bulls brought 45 to 104.50. Bred cows were 1,100 to 1,400. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. Get signed, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
They're built better. They're tough. Heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Before I give you the northwestern Oklahoma and Oklahoma Panhandle and northeastern Texas Panhandle forecast, Long Ranger, I want to give out a big shout out from Tulsa to a young lady that's in Tulsa, Lake and Pool. Her and her pig, Mr. Wrinkles, won breed champion polling at the Tulsa State Fair. Big congratulations, and she also made the Night of Champions sale, which will be tonight, which is great. I don't have any other stories from any of our kids in Western Oklahoma. I know they usually dominate the shows, and that's the only one that I have one that I know of. So if you have, either forward it to me on Facebook and Messenger on my site, or text it in to me right now if somebody did really good up there at Tulsa, because the pigs are still showing, I believe, up there right now. But anyway, congratulations, Miss Poole. You did a great job. And probably going to make some money tonight with Mr. Wrinkles. Anyway, here's your forecast right now. Let me circulate that a little bit, make sure it's up to date. And it is 68 degrees currently in Woodward. The winds are calm. Humidity is 60%. You can still be baling hay if you're out there doing it if it didn't get rained on this morning, so get after it. Anyway, this afternoon, 30% chance of storms. Tonight, 10% slight chance of storms, and 73 is going to be your high today. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 78 degrees. Friday, 64 for a high, a little chilly. Be 20% chance of storms also. Friday night, 20% slight chance of storms with a low around 45. Saturday, 20% chance of storms, 63 for a high. And Saturday night, another after midnight, 20% chance of storms and then a low around 50. And come Sunday, slight chance of storms in the afternoon, 20% at that. Sounds good. Let me see what it says Monday. Still looks like Monday, you have more of a chance of storms coming in at 30%. So anyway, looks like a great forecast for northwestern Oklahoma and panhandles up there. How about that? All right, let's see what, get a little bit of cow language going on here. Here we go. Maybe. And actually, everything's in the green with the livestock today. Live cattle for October, 144.80. December, 147.92. February, 151.77. And April is 159.97. Feeder cattle, October, 176.67. November, 177.37. Lean hogs, October, 90.27. December, 76.15. And February is 78.47. Happening right now at the capital of Kiowa County, Hobart, the Hobart Stockyards is having their sale right now. And then tomorrow we're back to Woodward, we're back up north, and then we'll be having the feeder calf sale. And then come Friday, Elk City Livestock Auction will be going on. Saturday, the Hollis Auction will be going on. Take a break Sunday, come back Monday to East Clinton, right there on I-40 to the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. If you got any buying or selling needs, call Mr. Brandon Hickey, call Jerry Nine, call Rex Fleming, just get her done. Well, Jerry gave you your report a while ago, but I'm just going to give you a little bit more information on it, because everybody I'm talking to, man, them cows hit the bottom Friday. And they did. They come way down. According to this report from the USDA, there was 1,547 head at Woodward yesterday. And we got price range was, compared to last week, slaughter cows $6 to $10 lower. Slaughter bulls were $5 to $8 lower. The demand was moderate. Supply included 17% feeder cattle, 78% slaughter cattle, and 5% replacement cattle. Breaker cows, man, I'll just break it down a little bit. It looks like they had around 70 head or 60 head. But the big girls weighing anywhere from 1480 to 1855 were bringing them the most dollars for your buck. It's from $75.50 to $83.50 per hundredweight. So their average price on breaker cows was $79.56. On the big girls, the average girls that were around 1,400 pounds were bringing anywhere from, on the average, $68 to $72. Get back down into the boner cows. Man, they had a bunch of them. They were, let me just do some quick math, almost 500 head of boner cows, and their average weight was anywhere from 1204 to 1308, and they were bringing anywhere from $62.99 to $69.90. Lean cows, they were weighing anywhere from $9.25 to $11.83, and they were bringing anywhere from $42.58 per hundredweight to the highest I see on the lean cows was $65.72. Bulls were down quite a bit yesterday at Woodward. The highest bull there was $96. They had 22 head. Average weight was 1782, but they were ranging anywhere from 86 to 96. So not so bueno. Bred cows weren't doing that good either. Again, I don't know what the quality of these bred cows were up there, but I'm just going to tell you these were bringing anywhere from $760 to $1,000 was the highest bred cow sold up there. And these were 2 to 4 year olds, some of them. Cow-calf pairs, they didn't have very many, seven of them. They were 5 to 8 years old with 150 pound or less calves on it, were only bringing $1,160. And on pairs with big calves on them, 150 to 300 pounds, they was 5 to 8 year olds, they was bringing almost $1,300. And then some cow-calf pairs with 300 or bigger pound calves on them with 2 to 4 year old brought $1,375. How about that? Anyway, well, Tyrone Spearman was going to give you an update. As peanuts come in to buying points across the southeast, it's been reported that tomato spotted wilt virus is really affecting the first third of this year's crop. Well, Tyrone's got a little more to say about it, and let me get this started.
The peanut specialist in the tri-state area, the first one-third of the peanut crop is not as good as expected. The grades are less than normal, according to Peanut Buying Points and Federal State Inspection Service. The tomato spotted wilt virus has hit the crop hard, they say, in certain areas. It's the yellow spots and the yellow hits in the field, as you can spot it riding down the road. April planted peanuts experienced a good start, and then a dry period of follow, they said, for 4 or 5 weeks, and then cloudy wet weather for 4 or 5 weeks. All kernels did not fill out, according to the peanut specialist, and that is causing some poor grades. Mid-May planted peanuts in the tri-state area are mostly excellent, but the continued dry conditions is causing problems for digging. Over-mature peanuts are coming off at the canopy. Canopy is not in good shape. Officials said that the health of the peanut plant and strength of the pegs may be the determining factor on when to dig the peanuts this season. I'm Tyron Spearman for Southeast AgNet.
Thank you, Mr. Tyrone. Legend has it that Tyrone and a few guys in Beckham County, a couple of them down south of the river, south of Carter, and a few on the west side of the river, clear over there by Delhi, might have had some cocktails one night together. I don't know if that was in Oklahoma or Georgia, but it's just it's just a big rumor. I'm not trying to spread any news about some of our local peanut farmers, but I hear stories out there. So anyway, earlier this week, I was telling you guys about the OSU Extension Office. Mr. Greg Hartman is going to be in Sayre October 18th from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. for the Beckham County Feeder Calibration Day. Bring your feeders or cake boxes and have them tested for feeding accuracy. All feeders, this is in big print here, all feeders must be functional and in working order to be evaluated. So don't bring your feeder over there to be evaluated if it ain't working, because I'm pretty sure Greg and Dixon over at Sayre's not going to work on your feeder for you for nothing anyway. But if you need more information, just call the Beckham County OSU Extension Office. And I don't know if any of the other extension offices are doing that in Western Oklahoma. If they are, let me know, and I'll put it on the air. But this is from 9 to 11 at Sayre, but guess what? Greg's going to take a two-hour lunch break, travel to Elk City, and he's going to be at the Elk City Farmers Co-op from 1 to 3 that same day to do the same stuff. So great job, Elk City and Sarah Co-op and Greg Hartman with the OSU Extension Office for putting this on, because this is the year you want things calibrated. It's not that hard to calibrate, but make sure you get over there and verify your calibration. How's that? Because feed is not cheap. When I come back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you for southwestern Oklahoma, central western Oklahoma, and the eastern Texas Panhandle.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Simply put, Simon's Catch Restaurant in Elk City is Western Oklahoma's number one choice for delicious dining. Simon's Catch features all-you-can-eat farm-fresh catfish, family recipe shrimp, USDA choice steaks, and mouth-watering desserts, including cheesecake and brownie pie. Make dinner tonight simple. Simon's Catch Restaurant in Elk City. From I-40, exit 34, go 1.5 miles south and 1.5 miles west. Simon's Catch Restaurant open at 5, Wednesday through Saturday, and at noon on Sunday.
With a small farmer or a big farmer, if you can save, you know, a few dollars here and there over a course of a year or 2 years, it might be $1,000, it might be $2,000, it might be $50. I would like to keep my $50 and spend it on something else that I enjoy. I mean, that's the way my mind works. If I can save a few cents here and there, and at the end of the year I have $1,000 more, then I get to go enjoy it. Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. We have a 50-mile radius that we have free delivery, 500 gallons or more. If you want under 500 gallons, then we have a minimal charge.
500 gallons and free delivery, I mean, you know, you can't ask for more than that. My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. Drew Cobb here with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, September 30th. 2,674 head were sold, 9 head of steers at 339, brought 206, 8 at 531, brought 160, 5 at 571, brought 164, 7 at 619, brought 158.50, 15 at 694, brought 157, 4 at 746, brought 160, 5 at 877, brought 125.50, 5 head of heifers at 310, brought 175, 16 at 451, brought 166.50, 6 at 478, brought 156, 5 at 560, brought 150.50, 7 at 619, brought 140, 25 at 840, brought 152, 5 at 1,004 brought 125. Butcher cows were 10 to 74.50. Butcher bulls brought 52 to 111. Bred cows were 450 to 1535. Pairs brought 1025 to 1860. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Myself, I'm fourth generation customer there at First National Bank. You get a lot of loyal customers there at First National because we don't change a lot. This is who we are. You can come in and talk to us if you have a difficult situation, and we're going to do what we can to get you through it. And right now in this economy, that's a big plus to have in a bank, somebody that will roll with you, because right now you're rolling with the punches. Everybody is. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Now back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Ooh, you got to turn that little red button on. I was just looking at the radar. It looks like there's some rain showers over Elk or south of Elk, not much, but right north of Woodward, there's a nice shower happening up there close to Buffalo, and then out there in the Oklahoma Panhandle, and quite a bit of rain in the Texas Panhandle, but around Guymon, they got heavy storms going on there. And I'm looking, and I think it's kind of headed this way. I don't know if it'll make it, but straight southwest of Elk City, if you drew a line between Elk City and Altus and went southwest, there's a pretty good, pretty big batch of storms going on down there. Well, right now, let's check out your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Today, currently, it's 80 degrees. The winds are out of the southeast at 8 to 10 miles an hour. Today, 81 for a high. I think we're going to get there. 30% chance of storms tonight, mostly cloudy. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 80. Tomorrow night, 56, mostly cloudy. Clouds moving in again Friday, 70 for a high. Friday night, 20% chance of thunderstorms. Saturday, 20% chance of thunderstorms too. And then Sunday, a high of 79. But big girls are coming in Monday to maybe let some moisture out of the sky and help us all out. So everybody just put your hands together, cross your fingers, and let's go on. Hey, if you check out our Facebook page on KECO, I posted a deal on there about an hour ago. But the Western Oklahoma Technology Center service has careers pumpkin sales going on out there. And the pumpkin sales are happening right there at Keith's Butcher Shop in there in Burns Flat. They had about 20 pumpkins left, and they're $3 a piece, and then they had some dollar gourds. So go help out this program. Greg does a great job with these kids. They the money that they get is what they sell these products for. It goes back into that deal. Help them out. As you remember, last spring, they had some great tomato plants and had them on sale. And he said they sold out, just lickety-split. And so anyway, help them out. Go by there and buy all their pumpkins up. Check out our Facebook page, and then if you want some, you can always message Greg Whittle that I've got on there. Anyway, they would appreciate it. These kids do a wonderful job of growing vegetables and plants out there in their greenhouse. So help them out all you can, please. Also, coming up this Saturday, October 8th, 6 o'clock, the Berlin Fire Department, Berlin, Oklahoma. Their Berlin Volunteer Fire Department annual fish and oyster fry. So go out and help them, donate to the fire departments, keep them going, because we always need our fire departments anyway, and we love them too. So when I come in here to get ready for the show earlier, Drew Cobb, famous Drew Cobb, he's your Tradio Hour man, and he's also the Backroads show host. He does a great job with that. He said, hypothetically speaking, if you were to enter a dish into the Watonga Cheese Festival this weekend, which is this Saturday and Sunday coming up, what would you do? And my deal is I would have some get some macaroni and goulash is what it is. Goulash, but since they want cheese, I just do pasta and cheese with no meat on there. But I've got this just awesome recipe that I do with 5 layers cheese goulash, but I usually put meat in it, and it's really good. And these, man, I love cheese. I don't know if you guys realize that, but I love cheese. But I would enter that, hypothetically speaking, into the Watonga Cheese Festival. Would you guys enter something in? What would you enter into the Watonga Cheese Festival? Because surely everybody around here has gone to the Cheese Festival at least once. Come on, help me out here. I know it's peanut harvest and you're getting wheat in and cotton's going, but surely you all guys have been to the Watonga Cheese Festival. But that's what I would do. And if I put meat in there, it would be 100% Anchor certified hamburger meat in there. That's all I got to tell you. Anyway, sometimes I really need some extra cash, and somebody wants me to make them one, I'll make them one. Just message me on Facebook, and I'm not cheap. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not cheap. You might as well go out and get you a steak, but if you want the best goulash in the world, I'm your man. Anyway, we got a little time left here. You know what's? You know, we talked about culling cows for the last 3 or 4 months during this drought, but When is it time to call bulls? Well, you know, breeding season's over. Grass and hay are in short. Are you thinking about replacing your bull next year? Why not go ahead and sell that bull now and get a dollar a pound for him, put that money back and put it in a savings account and get some interest on it so you can afford another bull next year. But anyway, it is common practice this time of the year to evaluate our cows to make culling decisions. But this is also a good time to evaluate our bulls to determine which sires we're going to feed through the winter and which has come to the end of their genetic contributing to the genetics of your operation. Bulls, much like cows, can live 10 to 12 years old. I've seen some 20-year-old cows. They don't look good, but I've seen them. Most bulls will remain active in the herd for closer to 4 or 5 years due to feet and leg and structural and fertility problems. Temperament concerns? No. Bulls are puppies. Or injuries, the decision to cull many bulls happens in the spring after failing a breeding soundness exam. However, producers can save input costs, 6 months worth of decent quality hay for a matured bull, which will cost about $600 based on current prices, by culling bulls in the fall if they or their offspring have undesirable characteristics that would make them unsuitable for the next breeding season. Most mature bulls can maintain condition with the same winter management as a cow herd. However, since mature bulls tend to weigh more than our average cow, you can expect their per head dry matter intake to be more as well. If we assume a bull will consume roughly 2% of his body weight in dry matter per day, and that's a mature bull weighs 1,800 pounds, they will consume about 36 pounds of dry matter daily for 9 months that they are not actively breeding cows. If we know a bull has a problem, it is best to call him sooner rather than later instead of sinking more input costs into him. Think about it, $600 to feed him for the whole 9 months and he's not doing nothing. Add that to what you sell a 2,000 pound bull at the sale barn, you got $2,600. Put it in a savings account, invest it. Hopefully the stock market stays good. You got $3,000 to spend next year on a bull. Anyway, culling bulls with undesirable traits allows producers to invest in genetics that will have a genetic improvement to the cow herd. It is important to understand that the bull contributes to about 90% of the gene pool and has more of the genetic, contributes more genetics to the herd in 1 year than a cow will in her lifetime. There is a concept among some producers where they thought the thought process is the bull is paid for and regardless of his issues, I'm going to continue to use him. And I have heard that many times. The problem with this concept is that every year the bull is allowed to contribute his genetics to the herd. He is passing along his negative traits as well. Buying a new bull has the potential to be more profitable if the new bull processes the genetics to improve reproductive performance, growth rate, or carcass traits, to name a few. Culling bulls this fall that have reached the end of their genetic to this operation not only has a positive impact on this year's income, but also can lead to long-term profitability in the cow herd by purchasing a new bull. Makes sense, doesn't it? Think about it. Anyway, Dr. Mark Johnson, Oklahoma State University Extension Beef Cattle Breeding Specialist, said it's not too early to be preparing for your winter. In recent years, weeks, I've covered some of the best management practices, and I've all read you Dr. Johnson's stuff. But this week we look ahead for a checklist to consider to be ready for winter. Don't wait till you get your first freeze, okay? Many of these are typical, preparing for winter months. Some are more significant this year. Here we go. Water. It's the most important of the classes of nutrients. A clean and abundant supply of water is critical to the health, reproduction, and production of beef cattle. Secure your feed and hay supply. Even if we receive ample moisture before the first frost, we are running short of growing days of warm season grasses. The warm season forage base you know now is all you got. So let's secure it, get all your hay checked, get analysis on your hay. Them hay analysis are cheap. Just get it done. Number three, eliminating cow inventory. Culling may be necessary. If you haven't got your cows preg checked now and they're open, can them. Get rid of them. Repair shelters and windbreaks and monitor the body condition of your cow herd. If you see some of them out there acting kind of skinny or weird, take them to the vet, get them checked. They say take them to the sale barn. Get it done. Save yourself some money. If a bull's costing you $600, bet a cow's costing you $400. It's the Day in Ag. God bless.